Hey Fadies, I'm DM Brad, and thank you very much for listening to Chapter 6, Episode 4 of The Fate of Isin. Before we jump into the episode, a super duper quick reminder that our live shows in the 2021 Fringe Festival are coming up extremely fast, as in 7 days from the time that I'm recording this. So if you're in Wellington on the 7th and 8th of March, make sure you grab your tickets and come see us live. There are not that many tickets available, so make sure you get one while you can from the link on our website, fateofisin.com. At the live shows, there will be a pretty awesome gaming giveaway from dicevault.com, so maybe you can get your hands on some tasty free gaming stuff. Or you could just go and buy some stuff from them using the promo code RESISTANCE to get a wicked 20% off. So dicevault.com, promo code RESISTANCE. Alrighty, we are joined in this episode once again by the awesome James Blyseth from the Wheel of Woe podcast, and also by one of our longtime friends and supporters, Reese. Okay, here is the recap. Last time, Marley, Kevbin, and Arcus arrived at the Resistance headquarters in the underground city beneath Dantanir. High Priestess Rhea insisted that they rest, and assigned a Resistance member, a Tabaxi rogue named Hawker, to help them get accommodated. They awoke to the sounds of panic and evacuation as the city was under attack by some kind of mysterious slime monster. Before finding and facing the creature, the heroes frantically searched the city for innocent people hunkering down in the damaged buildings.
But at the end of the day, I still saved 8 people.
Yeah.
It's only Marley that killed
16
everyone.
People.
Not even and didn't save, from, you literally killed.
Yeah, from her saxophone, you just hear,
It does play a thing called Sonic Boom now.
Hey, I've only been playing it one turn. Thank you.
No, fuck, I played the wrong song. I was supposed to play the Song of Healing, but I played the Song of Doom. Now everyone's dead.
I still don't think we actually decided what the Song of Doom is, and I still haven't written that parody yet.
As soon as that last group is clear of the building and starts making their way toward the elevator where everyone else is, you hear a very loud, like, air-splitting, cracking sound. Like something very big just broke. And a large chunk of debris falls off of the library, which is also a temple, a few hundred meters away from you, and slams down onto this, like, the concrete steps at the library's front. And then you see giant oily black tentacles wrap around the temple and start to squeeze. What do you do?
Marley leaps on top of Hodge and flies in that direction, pulling out her crossbow as she's going. So I'm going to start firing on this thing from the air.
Okay, what does everyone else do?
Kevin's like, I guess I'll walk. And
you've got time if you want to grab onto Hodge's tail and swing yourself aboard.
Yeah, actually, let's do it. Let's do that. That sounds cool. Can I do animal handling?
Animal handling just to see, like, you will succeed, but just to see if it's
down
cool
with it.
Or shit.
That is a bwow.
Nat 20. Yeah. You become part of Hodge, essentially.
Hodge even, like, sort of gives you, like, a butt bump to, like, sort of put you in the right place, you know?
Like, flips his tail up so I, like, somersault through the air and land perfectly.
Yeah.
How far away are the tentacles?
Narratively, we'll say it's about 200 meters away. So you've got time to sort of get near it before we would roll initiative and start something.
Can I try to get swept up by Hodge, which has happened multiple times by accident? So,
Sure. Yes, that just happens.
Yeah.
You're a frequent flyer.
Yes.
Thank you for flying Hodge Airlines.
Air Hodge.
And Hawker, what would you do? Would you leap into action with this group?
Well, there ain't no way I'm getting on the back of that dog.
Hodge is still like,
I didn't like the way you said dog. It sounded like a... It just sounded wrong. I don't think you can say that, man. You know, you're a cat. You can't use the D word.
Yeah, I'll follow them along the ground, I think.
Cool. Okay. So Hodge has a 60-foot flying speed.
Game mechanics-wise, you all just get closer together as a group. Some of you are on Hodge and Hawker is on foot, but like bounding along, so almost at pace with you, with his lithe cat reflexes, bouncing off some of the buildings that Marley destroyed. And
murderer! There's people standing in the streets pointing at you, screaming murderer.
Would not surprise me.
Like, look out, she'll breathe on you.
32 ghosts are just saying j'accuse.
It's like, wow, I didn't realize this was a French area. It explains why it's underground.
Yeah, all ghosts speak French. It's just what happens.
That is true. It's why they're always so rude. anti-French joke still in? Are we all still bullying the French collectively for being mean?
Yeah, I mean,
it depends. What are your listening numbers in France?
I mean,
it's okay.
I know we're really high in Argentina, weirdly, but you know.
I've watched them play rugby once.
Argentina. Argentina is the team I cheer for if I'm not cheering for the All Blacks.
I don't know the breeds of sport, you know.
Are you trying to kill me? Stop doing that when I'm drinking.
So these oily black tentacles are wrapping around the top of the temple, crushing it slowly, and you all approach and get close enough to take action. Let's roll some initiative, I suppose.
Bum, 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 bum.
Bum, bum.
Nice.
Oh, damn it, now I have to find the right music and post to match with that.
What? Brad gets to make like noises when he's doing intros and doing stuff.
Yeah, Brad.
I listened to the
episode.
Stop
pushing our buzz.
Okay, so I feel like I should tell you, I've been videoing this the entire time. So
great.
I have that face forever now.
Okay, so initiatives, what are they?
15.
18.
I also got 18.
Ooh.
I got 22.
Oh, okay.
I don't know
22
about you
first.
But Reese scored 22.
So the out of the two 18s between Kivbin and Arcus, who's got the higher dex?
Not me.
Okay.
I've
that
got
was
plus
easy.
Two, yeah.
Plus zero.
Your dex is high, James. Don't put yourself down.
I'm of average dex.
I love your dex. Your dex has always been enough for me.
Some people prefer less dex, you know? Like, if it's too much, then it's unrealistic.
It's not about the amount
it's what
of
you
dex.
Do
it's what you do with the dex.
It's how you use it.
Okay, Hawker, Arcus, Kevbin, and what did Marley get?
15.
Okay, it only got a 5, so it's going to act last. Okay, take it away, Hawker. What do you do as you come into range of this? So far, all you can see is black tentacles.
I want to stealth and do a stealth attack with my crossbow.
So I guess first we'll just, if you roll me stealth just to see if you are stealthy enough and whether you qualify for a sneak attack or not.
21.
You definitely are. So go.
Seems good.
So get in range for your crossbow and sneak attack away.
9 plus... 29 total.
AC. Oh, to hit.
Oh, shit, sorry. Do the right ones first, eh? 14.
Yeah, that's a hit. So 29 piercing damage, was it? From your crossbow? Cool. Yep, be with me as I math. I'll edit this out.
Snorlax!
What are you two doing?
This can never be edited out because I've been like, Snorlax! Snorlax!
I also am super jealous of your BMO
little stuffed animal. You're not jealous, you're envious.
Envious.
Jealousy is when you're afraid someone's going to take what you have. Envy is when you want what someone else
That's what
wants.
I'm saying. I have it, and
you're
I'm
afraid
jealous.
I'm going to steal it from you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I have one.
You
so
are
I
a lot closer to it. Yeah, JD, you have much much higher chance of stealing it right now than James does.
I might.
It's in your hand.
Maybe.
So, yeah, Hawker, the grey tabaxi, gets out his crossbow and takes a stealthy vantage point where this tentacled creature can't see him and fires off a bolt for 29 damage, and it just embeds into fuck you two. Did you miss each other?
I'm losing my mind.
I can't even see what
yes,
we've got guests.
We I'm missed sorry. Each other I'm that s- much. Jules Squared should never be separated, okay, Brad? Why did you do this to her?
You J2. Can't divide us.
We're Jules Squared, bitches!
Okay. Well, next is Argus.
I'm gonna try use my... Wait. So, how within range are we?
Yeah.
You tell me. We'll... I'm not counting the steps leading up to it.
Can we be 60 foot at least?
Yeah, unless you went up the steps a little bit as well.
Well, we're flying, right? So.
Yeah, okay, so you're still on Hodge, and you are 60-ish feet. Let's call it 60.
Okay. I want to try do a guiding bolt, and I rolled a 24.
Oof. Nice.
That's definitely a hit.
14.
Cool. So what does your guiding bolt look like, and what type of damage does it do? It's force, isn't it?
It is...
Radiant.
Yeah, it is radiant. Yeah,
you're radiant. Radiant.
Stop it, you flirt.
So, so how do you call upon a guiding bolt? Like, what does Arcus do to make that happen?
Like, classic, like, Zeus-type move, right? And I'm like... It's we're underground though. Anyway, there's still weather. I put my arm up in the air, and then there's lightning
in
it.
Yeah, put my arm
like
up
a bolt
in the air.
And then I sort of I use both hands and I go like, yeah, and throw it.
A two-handed javelin shot.
A two-handed downward javelin. Like I'm just trying to like,
yeah.
Spirit. Yeah. It's aggressive.
Nice. And you hurl it, and it...
It's definitely not a hug.
I, like, scream while I do it. Yeah, I'm like, this is not a hug!
This is the opposite of a hug.
I'm not hugging you right now.
Yeah. I'm so sorry, you two. Welcome to Fate of Isaac.
I look at Marley,
I'm
and
not
I'm like,
sorry.
Are they okay? Are... Is everything all right over here?
No. Clearly not.
The guiding bolt hits one of the black tentacles, and then it reflexively, so more of the creature comes into view, and it sort of stops being tentacles, and it all coalesces into like one giant black mass on the front of the temple. And now it's Kevbin's turn.
So Kevbin on the back of Hodge is going to stand up on Hodge and just like holding on to some of Hodge's fur as like a saddle, I guess. I don't know. Like to hold his place. Yeah, the reins.
Like pommel.
Thank you. Yeah. And is going to just like kind of close his eyes and put his hand out like this. And for some weird reason, everyone starts to hear this like ethereal music, like, as like pale moonlight starts to come down in a little 5-foot tube from the sky and just rests like in this cylinder 40 foot high with a 5-foot radius on top of the monster.
Okay, so this is like a moonbeam.
Yes, this is exactly a moonbeam.
Okay, and what does it have to do?
So it, when it starts its turn in the spell area, it says when a creature enters the spell area for the first time on a turn, or starts its turn there, it is engulfed in blah 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 blah. So I think it would be entering the spell area because the spell area is entering it.
Yeah. So, or it, no, it's going to start its turn already in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So at the start of its turn, it's going to take the damage that.
Okay. Yeah, I cast it at level 3, so it'll be 3d10.
Does it have a save?
Yes, it gets a con save.
That is an 18 on the con save.
That'll do it.
Does it take half damage or anything?
Half damage, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so on this, it's not its turn yet, okay. But at the start of its turn, it will take.
I'll just roll.
Half of whatever you just rolled. Cool. And Marley, so you just saw this sort of beam of moonlight come from above and engulf the black, oily creature in a cylinder of light.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, cute! And she's like,
pretty!
Yeah. She's like, I'm going to fire for the target! So she's like firing for where the moonbeam hits. And she's going to use both of her turns to fire all four arrows at that spot. But before she does, she's casting Hail of Thorns this turn. Sure, why not? Yeah, so Hail of Thorns this time and then tries to fire.
Okay, so it's save. Is it a deck save?
Hang on. I have to hit you first.
Oh, yeah.
Hit me with your best shot.
It's really not good. Marley is not having a good night, guys. my highest was 13. And I have a plus 9,
I'll tell you
by
right
the
now,
way. So.
I will tell you right now, this is a giant gooey blobby thing that has an AC of 9.
Oh, okay,
it's
good.
Very easy to hit.
All right, so both of them hit then. So then I get to do 4 arrows.
And it got a 4 on its deck save.
Okay, cool. Yep, 17 plus 5 is 22, plus Hail of Thorns. Wow, I rolled a 1 on that. That's just rude, frankly. So 23 damage this turn. So okay, like,
and it's all,
4
all piercing, right?
Yeah, so 4 arrows come flailing out of my bow, and then just like a swarm of other arrows follow it, just like all pelting into the same spot.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, it just gets absolutely hammered with all these arrows just coming out of nowhere and pincushioning it to the point where it lets go of its grip reflexively of the temple and falls down to the top of the temple steps. But it's still within that moonbeam, so it's now going to take
oh, 10.
Half of whatever you rolled.
10 is what I rolled. It's...
Oh, so it takes 5?
Yep. Radiant damage.
Cool. It takes 5 radiant damage from starting within this moonbeam. And then it's going to sort of have just this gross, bulbous, inky movement of 20 feet closer to you. And with 2 very long pseudopod tentacle things, it's going to shoot out in the direction of the 3 people riding the wolf.
Makes sense.
Typical.
Makes sense.
So let's do the same thing we did when there were 3 targets last time. 1 and 2, it's going to hit Marley, or it's going to aim at Marley. And I'm not going to 5 and 6 you, James. I'm not going to 5 and 6
oh,
you.
Oh, thank goodness.
3 and 4, it's James, or Kevbin. 5 and 6, it's going to aim at Arcus. So the first tentacle is at Kevbin.
Damn it!
Should have stuck with the 5 and 6. That's what you get for changing.
That's what second you get tentacle. When you let your heart win.
Second tentacle is 6, so that's at Arcus.
Why?
So these 2 long, inky strings basically shoot out of it very quickly, and the first one here, at Kevbin for a 20, unnatural.
Ouch.
And Arcus for a 16. I think your AC is 18, Arcus, off the top of my head.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Okay, so yeah, 1 misses you, but still shoots out at your group, and you're sort of like, shit, like we're under attack. But Kevbin, you take 12 bludgeoning damage, which I'd say is enough to knock you off of Hodge.
Alright.
And, wait for it, that's not the main event.
Oh.
And that's not all. Order now within 30 minutes, and you'll get another punishment for free.
And you'll get death.
No
chance.
Oh
shit, you might.
Oh my god, no.
And 34 acid damage.
34.
34. Oh my god.
Buddy. Okay guys, I was joking about the acid before, but holy crap.
Yeah, so you get knocked the fuck off of Hodge and you hit the ground. And I'd say some of your bludgeoning damage is from the ground itself.
Okay. I was like, please don't make me take anymore.
And you are absolutely sizzling with acid. Like, that was a fucking hit.
I don't like this thing.
And now we're back around to Hawker.
I'll stealth again and sneak attack with my crossbow.
Okay. I'd say that you're still stealth well enough from your last roll. And the fact that it's focusing on a different target. So, yep. Yeah, you can just fire a sneaky crossbow attack with your sneak attack.
Well, I guess that's not a hit. 14?
Yep, it's only AC 9.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yep. Sweet.
And does Hawker, as a tabaxi, as sort of like a cat-like person, does he do anything stylistically when he's firing a crossbow? Or is he very straightforward and just like, I have a bow, you're my target, bang.
Very straightforward, yeah.
He's all business.
Yeah, very much. That was 12 and 13.
So 25 all up?
Yeah.
That's nice. So yeah, a very well-placed crossbow bolt hits this gooey blobby thing and it sort of turns and faces you in response. Or faces your general area. You don't know if it sees you or not. And now Arcus. Still on Hodge.
I feel like I wanna try and help out Kevin.
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 Kevin. Kevin. Kevin. Kevin the bin.
My name's Bevan. It's like Kevin with a B. Oh, you mean Kevin?
I'm trying really hard to concentrate, but ever since Marley said moonbeam, I've just had it doesn't make any sense, but just in my head continuously it's been Mr. Sandman, but it's Mr. Moonbeam, moon me a beam.
make it
the meanest that I've ever that beamed.
Make it all blue and shaped like a cylinder,
and that's the end of the moonbeam. actually, James, is it still in the moonbeam? Like, does that stay up?
Oh, yeah, it is a concentration.
Oh, yeah, you should probably do a check to see.
Okay,
what are your concentration checks?
Well, the DC for that is half the damage you just took.
Oh, is it now?
You can't possibly roll that, so you lose concentration on the moonbeam.
Well, and that's the end of Kevin.
Yeah, so Arcus, it's your turn.
I think I have to... because he's not on the Hodge anymore, eh?
Mm-hmm. How far away would he be? Like, is it 60 foot down? Like, how far down?
You tell me how high you were flying. Arcus said 60 before, right?
No, 60 feet away from the thing. Oh. But that doesn't... We are in a cavern, right? So we're probably not terribly high from the ground.
Yeah, the ceiling of the underground city is about 200 feet high.
Right, okay. I don't think we would have gone that far, so maybe only like 30 foot anyway. Because it was more about forwards movement.
Speed.
Yeah,
and we don't want to move too far away from Horker.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
In which case, I will cast Mass Healing Word. 6 creatures of your choice that you can see within range. And I got 8.
So you just yell a word? What's the word?
Oh, get better!
And yeah, Kevin, you feel slightly better with 8.
The word was better, not get, by the way, just so you know. I just added it for a little spice.
I like it.
It's a modifier to the spell.
It could be healing
it adds
phrase.
Some extra pep.
Yeah. Do you do anything else, Arcus? Or do you just stay on Hodge and get closer? Presumably Hodge is moving closer each turn. Or is he hovering at a distance?
Yeah. 30 foot away, probably.
Okay. He's hovering 30 feet away.
Well,
above.
Yeah.
Sort of above the stone steps
yeah.
of the temple.
Yeah.
C- Can I do my spiritual weapon as a bonus action? Because it is one.
Yep.
Sweet. Yep.
To summon it or summon it and use it?
Summon and use it.
Sure, why not? Let's party.
Nice. Okay. So I rolled 18 to hit.
Okay, that hits. Nice. With what? What is your spiritual weapon this time? It was a slingshot against Gilliff.
I think it's just a big bowling ball.
Okay.
I just kind of want to drop a bowling ball on it. I feel like it might squish.
Okay, just smash it with a radiant bowling ball.
I mean, that makes sense.
I want to poke it in the eyes, like Three Stooges style after that.
It puts up a hand tentacle.
5 damage.
Okay. And you now have, just hovering around you, a spectral bowling ball.
Nice.
Available for next time. And now it's Kevin.
Oh, good. Kevin is going to cast... So I'll ask you, Brad, if I can do this in here. Can I call lightning in an underground city?
You sure can.
Okay. Because it does just say a storm cloud appears. When you cast the spell, choose the point. So let's do cast or call lightning.
What does it have to roll? Dex
save? So that is a dexterity saving throw, yes.
Yep, so it rolled a 5 and you cast call lightning.
Perfect. Third level, so 3d10. That is 20.
Okay. How about, instead of 20, 0, and...
Fuck you. And you, as soon as you looked all gleeful...
You cast this spell, and you create lightning above it, and it just krakoom down on it, and it hits this oily black creature, and instead of it being damaged, it splits into 2 oily black creatures.
Oh,
that's not good.
Oh.
Hydra.
Ducknut done fucked up.
Hail Hydra! Motley switches teams.
That's Kevin's catchphrase, by the way, when he makes a mistake. Ducknut done fucked up.
Ducknut done fucked up. That's the title of this episode. No.
No, I feel like it's Motley did worse than before.
Could do something else? Not do something else. Can I retcon that? No. But can I?
Can
make
I not
a,
be here anymore?
Kevin can I leave? Would like to leave now. could I make a check of some sort?
Yep, like I'll allow it.
To maybe know what just happened and what could possibly hurt this creature more.
Okay.
Like a nature.
Nature
or
check. Yeah.
Nature.
I'll allow nature. Yeah.
19.
Okay. You know of these things. You've never seen one this size, but you know that they are relatively common in like subterranean areas, smaller versions of this. In fact, Marley and Banfor fought a few of them last time they were here, but they were very, very small compared to this. And you know that they are immune to a bunch of things. You didn't know that this one was immune to lightning, but you do now. You know that it's immune to acid and cold and slashing in addition to lightning.
Okay.
Cool. Is that just like lightning damage or anything lightning related?
If you do lightning type damage. So you before did your guiding bolt, which is not lightning type.
Yeah, that's what I was. Yeah, okay.
So you know that. And we all now know lightning does bad things.
But, I mean, I made 2 of them, so it probably has half the amount of hit points in each one, right?
Oh, God. It's going to be like a swarm.
One can only assume.
Or it doubled. No, I'm kidding. Marley, what do you do? One of them, so it was facing Hawker's position before, but then with the split, now there's one facing Hawker's position and one facing Arcus and you on Hodge.
Okay. To start with, Marley calls down to Kevbin as a mantle of inspiration, is like, "Ooh, I'm really glad you did that because I didn't know that either." And you get 8 temporary HP, and you can immediately use your reaction to move your whole speed without provoking opportunity attacks. So I figure you're lying on the ground still, so you can get up and move as your reaction to that. That's my bonus action. And now she's just going to fire with no extras, just her hand crossbow.
Okay.
Yeah, so 22 and 18, so they all hit.
Yep.
So
which one are you aiming at?
I'm aiming at the one that's looking at us, because okay. I'm like, nah, you know, trying to get out from underneath that. 18, 26, much better rolls. 31, please.
Okay, so you pelt four bolts into the one that's facing you, and it lets out this sort of otherworldly shriek and then wobbles and shakes down into like just a black harmless puddle on the steps and starts dripping down the steps.
Cool. And then off the temple. Marley wants to sort of direct Hodge to kind of move closer to Hawker to like step in if needed. If we can see Hawker, because
Know vaguely where he went to. He's stealth. He's hiding in the shadows. But you kind of know, like, he's in this sort of area.
Yeah.
Like, we're near him. And yeah, now it's the turn of the one that was looking in his direction. And I'll just get you, Hawker, to roll another stealth check to see if while it's looking at you, it can now see you or not. Because it's got blind sight, so it's basically able to see with its other senses.
I got a 16.
Okay, and let's just see what I can do about that.
It's using echolocation, isn't it? That's how it's seeing everything.
Kind of, yeah. I suppose so. It's just called blindsight.
No, I was... just imagine the slime just screaming silently that we can't hear at all times.
Okay.
So, where's everyone?
It's singing Sweet Caroline.
You're right. I'm sorry. How silly of me.
Sweet Caroline. Okay, so you rolled...
Good slime
rolled
never
well
turned
enough.
So bad.
You rolled well enough, Hawker, that it can't see you. You're being quiet enough and still enough that it doesn't know that you're there. It knows you're in that area, but it does not have a direct bead on you. However, it can see the wolf with two people riding it that just flew right next to you. And it's going to shoot two tentacles out, one at each of them. So, against Marley.
I hate to bring this up, but Hodge is actually there. I didn't know if I should mention that.
Oh, I know he's there. It's okay. Aiming for the people riding Hodge.
Perfect. I love it.
That is an 18 for Marley. Ooh, and a 23 for Arcus. So they both hit.
Yep.
So, oh man, hang on. I've got a lot of dice to roll.
Stop bragging.
We get it. You have lots of dice.
God, give us that SMR rolling, Brad.
Okay, Marley, you take 13 bludgeoning.
Ooh, Dungeon Master, roll those dice.
And ...29 acid.
Hit me again, Dungeon Master.
God, what have I gotten into?
I would say that's enough to knock you off of Hodge as well. So you just get, hit with this acid tentacle and fall off and hit the ground and take a shitload of damage.
Luckily, we're near the ground now.
Yep. And Arcus, it is 9 bludgeoning and 32 acid.
Jesus Christ. I'm almost dead.
Yeah, you also get knocked off of Hodge. So now Hodge is just flying there next to, or very near to Hawker with no riders.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds right.
And that leads us back around to Hawker. Probably feeling very lucky.
Yeah, definitely. I'll have another stealth attack, assuming I'm still stealthed.
I'd say, yeah, it's just attacks someone else. So yeah, you're still Shadow. You haven't moved.
Sweet. Natural 20.
Nice.
Dude. Inspired by the epic hit that your companions just took.
Do I get double damage on that?
You roll the die twice.
Oh yeah, 14 plus 10.
That is enough to kill it.
Yes. Great success.
So yeah, you in this perfect stealthy position in the shadows. No one can see you. Just this perfectly timed and placed bolt shoots out and hits right in the center mass of this oily creature, and it also lets out this horrible shrieking sound and then melts into an acidic black puddle that drips down the stone steps of the temple.
Yeah, Mali on her back's like, woohoo! Gets to her feet, brushes herself off, sort of, how's everybody doing? Are we alright?
No.
I'll just appear out of nowhere.
Woo! Nice work there. I assume that was you. I didn't see you, so I assume so.
Yes.
Good stuff there, man. That's some good... It's like Molly's just like, you know, sort of brushing herself off, being like, am I all right? I feel a bit sore. Stretching, you know? And looks around and is like, well, is that it? Is that all they're running from? I feel like I could take on a whole nother one of those things.
It's funny you say that, but no.
I couldn't.
I'm really glad that you feel that way.
A young human girl sort of peeks out from behind a corner and rushes up to you.
And I'm says, like, Jessa?
Yes, how did you know?
Oh my god, Jessa, everybody's been looking for you.
How did you... And she looks at the two big black puddles and is like, how did you do that? You're heroes!
That's nothing. You should see us with dragons. Oh, you don't know what dragons are. No,
We've heard cool. of them. Priestess Rhea just told us that they learned something about them in there, and then points to the library right next to you.
Yeah, actually, we should go check if in there is okay. I'll feel better once I know.
Have you seen my mum?
They all kind of ran...
Run on ho- Ooh.
Which of the house... Was she at home?
I don't know. We were running with everyone and then we got separated.
Maybe run towards the elevator. Left, I think that's where everybody is. Really should be an escalator, but we're working on that.
Or at least stairs. Like, you don't really... I feel like in any emergency situation, what you don't want is for it to be automated some way, you know? But at least if a lift breaks... Fuck, I can't speak. If a lift stops working, then you're fucked. Like, no one else can go up and leave. But if an escalator stops working, it just becomes stairs. So people still have an exit, you know?
And she's like, that's a classic Mitch Hedberg bit. I love Mitch Hedberg.
Sorry for the convenience.
Molly is actually pretty keen to go see if the stone's okay.
That's great. I'm on one... health.
Oh no, sorry, I did say Molly slaps you on the back and is like, don't worry.
Slaps the 1 HP off me, I die.
Don't worry, Arcus, I'm here for you, buddy. And kind of like rubs your shoulders and gives you 27 hit points back.
Thank you.
Okay, so we've kind of reached the end of the session here. So we're going to get to that railroad moment that I mentioned at the beginning, because I need to maneuver you into position to start the live shows. So yeah, if investigating the state of the library is what you want to do, you successfully do that. You enter the library, explore, you see the scenes that you saw last time you were here, Mali, and you show your new companions, you know, what you saw. You see that Jim the Gem is still sitting in its pedestal where you left it.
Yeah, I pat it a couple of times, satisfied.
Yeah, and this is at the heart of the library, so it's all sort of perfectly intact, right in the center. Like, nothing bad has happened to it here. And then, yeah, everyone sort of tentatively returns to the underground city, and there's like a cleanup crew and they fix the situation, and then you are encouraged to rest again and feast. You have people thrusting food at you, like, please take this, you know, you saved us. And I mean, there are 32 people who weren't saved, but you saved some of us.
Mali would be trying to organize people into having like tables again, like a big long banquet table, and then would just be thinking fondly of Trisselspoon and I running around underneath everybody tying their shoelaces together, like just be remembering all of that. Yeah. And crying cool. A little bit, like single tear.
Hawker, you get sort of like a commendation from High Priestess Rhea, and so personal one-on-one attention is quite rare with her, and she congratulates you and thanks you for being so brave in the face of adversity and so calm and collected, and she talks up like you're gonna become like one of the leaders of the resistance. You're gonna become like a very high-ranking member of what they do here. And Kevbin, same to you. She invites you to join. She talks to you about what they've been doing since Arkvale fell and what their goals are and things like that. And they put that to you. What would Kevbin be thinking about that?
Kevbin would be first. He would ask what the payment benefits are. if there's health insurance, things like that. no, Kevin is kind of weighs the decision heavily on his brain and thinks about home, and then remembers that there's huge fucking monsters everywhere in the world, and so home probably isn't the same as it used to be.
Yeah. Are there people at home that you'd like to protect, though?
He's kind of a loner. He's a little bit of a hermit. So, I mean, wants to protect the town, yeah, for sure. But figures a good way to do that would be to join the resistance.
Okay, cool. So you take her up on her offer to...
Yeah.
Yeah, so you would be housed here in the underground city, you would be trained, you would be given armor and weapons and access to whatever knowledge they can get out of the library, and basically this becomes your new home.
Cute.
Wholesome.
Would you strike up a friendship with Hawker?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean...
I mean, after seeing the crazy of Mali and Arcus, right? Like,
yeah, like... yeah, having a little bit more stability and normalcy is definitely something Kevin's interested in.
Well, I mean, Kevin's cursed now, so...
yeah, thanks for that, by the way.
and, yeah, so Reese, do you think that... Hawker would reciprocate friendship with this newcomer that you've just bonded through adversity?
Definitely, yeah.
Aww. Just a new mate. Even if he turns into, like, wild shapes into, like, a dog or something?
I haven't seen him turn into a dog yet, so that's all fine.
Yeah. I'll probably, just to make, you know, Hawker feel comfortable, transform into a saber-toothed tiger. Be like, see, same.
That's racist, yes. Man.
No.
I feel like I think saber-toothed tigers are actually closer related to bears.
Alright. So he's like, alright, you don't like that? Turns into a hunter shark. And yeah, no, don't like that? No? Alright. Polar bear. Okay.
Just a house cat, I think.
Are we there? Is Arcus trying to make these shapes with their body too? Like,
I'm doing like hand puppets with my cloudy hand. Like, oh, it's a
do
fox.
One of these! Do this! Ooh. Do one of these!
Yeah. And I'm going, zzz, and I'm like talking with you with each monster. Like, zzz, like speak with animals. Like, just.
Do one of these!
Yeah. And then we're like,
cool. And this is all taking place at a very festive feast. People are joyous and celebrating that that so many people survived and that this could have gone a lot worse. And then you are encouraged to take another long rest, which you gratefully do. And then in the morning, when you open the locker and check in with Haydet.
Morning messages. Makes sense.
Yep, you check your morning messages.
Tying up my shoes.
Yep. he says, Mali, Arcus, Shabs has invented something truly magnificent. It's a flying wagon. It's supposed to be called an airship, but, well, Shabs insists on calling it a flywag.
No!
Zero has really made a case for her to change the name to airship, but she's a stubborn little goblin, and Currently, it's still Flywag. Anyway, right now, the Flywag is on its maiden voyage high above Stonemoor. Queen Shan insisted on being on board, as did a number of nobles, academics, and craftsfolk who were involved in craft in putting it together with Shabs.
Freaking artists.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they've just caught the attention of a pack of white dragons.
Of course they bloody have! They're in the air! What did they think was going to happen? Marley is mad.
This isn't going to end well. So quickly, please, get to the mountains behind Stonemoor. They're near that place where you killed all those wolf pups, Marley.
This is just not a good episode for Marley.
So that's where the live shows will begin.
I love it. I love
Amazing.
It.
Amazing. Incredible.
So I think Marley would like close the locker if Arcus hadn't heard that, tell Arcus about it.
He
just
said
in
my
case.
Name,
right? Yeah. And then sort of fight her way out and through crowds that are probably all setting back up again to find her two friends and say goodbye. You know? And kind of give them a bit of a hug and
right. Do we have a farewell dinner, long rest?
Well, I feel like we probably need to get going this morning. That's probably so. But she'd want to say goodbye and also say goodbye to High Priestess Rhea to let her know what the story is, where she was going, and that like she's still resistance, like Marley is. You know, if you need me, call me.
Is Arcus resistance?
Here.
I'm resistant to a lot of things.
and by the way, Marley would have at some point in the reverie taken Princess High Priestess Rhea away to fill her in on killing the Empress, the whole Brute Wall coming down thing, and how it happened, and all about Gilliff. Yeah, so she'll have all of that. As much as Marley knows, she'll
give
know.
Her the whole story. Sweet. Yeah. So she's in the know, and she'll presumably let the important members of the Resistance know, including Hawker, her newly promoted member. And you at some point open another Bloodgate.
Yeah. As I reckon, as she's saying, like, she's hugging Kevbin, and she's like, "All right, okay, well, no time to waste, Kevbin. Sorry, I know this creeped you out last time. Luckily you're not coming this time." And stabs herself again, like, in the shoulder. Again.
Arcus just genuinely thinks this is a way that normal people travel.
the blood portal opens up, and Arcus, Marley, and Hodge travel through.
I'm like waving, and as soon as the blood portal closes, look at Horker, and I'm like, they really got to find a better way to travel.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Who's going to clean up this mess?
Are we going to do it now? Are we going to do it now, Brad?
And that's the end of the episode. Hey, thanks, James and Reese, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks.
I want to say one more thing real quick, which was thinking about Trestle Spoon underneath tying all the shoes and everything made me laugh. But I almost built a character, a gnome character named Mesa Spoon, who would have been like a distant relative or something. But I decided not to.
I still have the long list of gnome name suggestions that other podcasts gave us when we found Trestle's family. If you want to name a gnome character after one of those.
I do.
My favorite was Brisbane Thimberwacky.
They were so good. Oh, they were so good. Yeah, I'm always interested into what happened with the gnomes, you know, like what Trestle Spoon. I know he ended up founding a home for them and stuff, but like since all this crap's gone down, are they fighting too? You know, in my head, they've got their own like elite fighting task force, and they're all running around in these blue boots, like running up onto ceilings and stabbing things from above, you know?
As you do.
They found Jessa! You can consider the Jessa saga closed. Phew! Wow! What a roller coaster! Where's Jessa? Here she is. That story had everything. So the slime monster was defeated and the city was saved. Huzzah! Did Haydet just say that Shabs has invented an airship? I mean, a fly wag? Oh man, that is a pretty big deal for the world. I just hope the Squadeth can deal with this whole, you know, Shabs and Queen Shan and the airship have been attacked by white dragons thing. I guess you'll have to come to the live shows to find out how that goes. As I'm sure you all know by now, we could not make the show without the love and the help and just the overall good feels that we get from our supporters on Patreon. Alex White Robinson, Person Who Wants to Stay Anonymous, Robert Baldino from Not Quite Heroes Podcast, Aaron Kuchi, Laura Christine Goodwin, and James Blyster from Wheel of Woes, Sajo Hodgkins, Laura Douglas, Mel Ziegler, Roger Afamata, Sam Malcolm from Table Tales, Codron Fels, Lauren Flake, Kai Dealer, Rihanna Kapalsik, Kevin Swift from The Dice Cop, Ben Edwards, Victorian Gavin Porter, Daniel Nickers from the Happy Go Lucky Podcast, KP Squish, Alexandra Litkais, Andrew Evans, Danny Holman from the Garada Podcast, Kevin Carver, Dakota Shimatsky, ah, oh, so close, Damien Libreton, and Andrew M. If anybody else wants to help the show grow and prosper, you can either join us over at patreon.com/fateofison and check out the reward tiers there, or drop a wicked review for us somewhere. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, Podchaser, or just with your friends. Drop it in the casual conversation, because you're a cool person and your friends know that you know what's up. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. We're going to have a brief hiatus, just as the next thing that comes up is the live shows, and we have to perform and record those and then turn them into episodes, so it might take us a couple of weeks. Please be patient. But yeah, we're going to have some great Chapter 6 adventures coming soon. Thanks for listening. DM Brad saying, see you later, fader. I am such a dork.
Hey, Waffles.
Hey, Mario.
Hey, we've got 30 seconds to talk about what our podcast is about. What do you want to do?
Oh, Waffles and Mario talk about things.
Mm.
How would you describe the podcast?
I describe it as a podcast where both of us being funny people talk about things that we find funny.
Well, do we have to find it funny?
No, we don't. We very rarely find things funny.
Can we just talk about things and then we find the humor in that?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't laugh. I'm a sociopath.
You are.
Yeah. And so are you.
I am.
And that's what our podcast is about.
Two sociopaths talking about things.
Yes.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.